How's that life doing?
Pretty good. It's up till last night wasn't that bad. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, the night before was brutal.
Oh, me too. Oh, I do have a funny story. I had insomnia for some reason. No particular reason why. I wasn't even thinking about work or wasn't. I don't really know what happened. I did kind of mess up my neck at the gym, so that could have kept me up. But went to bed, tossed and turned for like 2 hours, got up, was working on my side project, which we can talk a little bit about. And then I was just sitting there like 3 o'clock in the morning, got my iPad, started watching Netflix in my bed, and I got hungry, so I ordered Chinese food.
Wait, 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 wait. At 3 in the morning.
No joke. I have this picture of me with like my chopsticks, and it's like by the time the food got there, it was like 3:30. Well, I ordered at 2:45.
Who's delivering food at 2:45 in the morning?
You open up Seamless, you sort by fastest delivery. But then, like, I was worried that it was just like going to be a bogus order and there's no way they're going to make it. So, like, I ordered like 2:45. They said they're going to be there at 3:30. I checked my phone at like 3:20. And I was like, this restaurant hadn't delivered it yet. And they were deep in Brooklyn. I was like, oh my gosh,
oh,
there's
you're
no way
never
they're going to
getting
get
that. Yeah,
here.
you're never getting that.
So I called them and then I finally got through to them and I could barely understand the guy, but he said 20 minutes. And I was like, this is never happening. Like, I'm literally going to fall asleep. Someone's going to buzz my buzzer at 5 a.m. They actually showed up like 20 minutes later, but
oh, wow.
Not before I ordered again from another place because I really wanted some General Tso's chicken. I was like, you know, you're in those moments where yep. you're just the only, like, you have no budget constraint. Like, no health constraint. It's like when you're traveling. Like, there's nothing stopping me from getting this General Tso's chicken in my bed right now. You know what I mean? And nothing did stop me.
So, wait, hold on. So, not only did you find a place that delivered at 3 in the morning, you found two places that delivered at 3 in the morning.
Yep. And then I was on Seamless trying to cancel my other order, and it was confirmed. I don't know what happened. I fell asleep in my bed probably a little after 4, and they said they delivered it, but that certainly never made it in my apartment. So maybe some homeless person got lucky and got a fresh plate of General Tso's chicken at 4 o'clock in the morning, because I don't know where that delivery guy ended up. It was pretty good chicken, though.
Nice. Wow.
I was watching Master of None Season 3, which was really good. And I was watching a little bit of Bo Burnham's Inside, which is like this special on Netflix from this comedian dude. He's like a little preachy for me. He gets just a little preachy, but like he also has just like funny songs about like FaceTiming with his mom during the pandemic. And oh my gosh, it's freaking hilarious. This guy is so creative. He like made this whole thing in like over the course of a year. And dude, the mom FaceTime song is hilarious. He's like, oh, look who it is. It's your dad. Do you want to say hello? It's like, it could have been taken from like one of my calls with my mom. It's so funny. But yeah, that was my Monday night. I actually managed to have a pretty productive day on like literally 2 hours of sleep the next day and worked out that night. So I don't know, man, just weird.
Still must be the chicken.
Feel like must be the chicken. Give me unnatural energy. So, yeah, I was working on my, at this 3 a.m. hacking session. I was like, screw it. Let's go for alpha again. Let's try it all over again. I had basically just undone like React 19 and SWR once I realized the suspense for data fetching stuff was not really ready yet.
Wait, wait, hold on. You React 19, React 18, you went 18, back to 18. You went back to 17.
Exactly.
Okay.
After like the last month of experimenting with suspense, because really suspense isn't ready for data fetching yet. It's just it's not. And the updates to suspense from 17 to 18 changed a lot. So the data fetcher library I'm using, SWR, has a suspense mode, but the behavior changes in 18, and I remember it not working like to refresh the cache basically when it was stale. And so I was like, there's no way I know. I just don't want to dig in and figure out why. So I had reverted everything and was just going to use suspense on 17. But that has like really different behavior. Use effects fire even if a component hasn't been committed yet, which is really strange.
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to put side effects in an effect. And now it's like, but your component has suspended, so it shouldn't be committed to the screen, but it's running its side effects. That's kind of weird.
Aren't the trees, didn't you run into something where like the trees could be like inconsistent? Like you could have like siblings mm-hmm. that were suspended, but their mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. siblings that weren't suspended were committed, something like mm-hmm. that. Okay. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, because I was trying to do that animation suspender and seeing if like everything was suspended or everything wasn't suspended. Yeah. It made a lot more sense to me the way it worked in 18, which is how more correct because it's how it's supposed to work, right? But anyways, I just tried it again. And, you know, the React 18 alpha commit SHA or whatever is like changing every day because it's just an alpha. So I was like, let's just let it rip and see what happens. And MSW had had some updates since the last time I had used it. And so it actually worked. So like the way my app works, I rely on the stale revalidation part. You know, when you make an entry and you go back to the home screen, it's stale and it needs to revalidate. And so the bars automatically adjust. And that's what I wasn't seeing when I tried it last time, but this time I did see it. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
And so I got all that working. I was trying to figure out this nice way to deal with my auth layer. So I want, when you first open the app, my auth provider, which configures SWR with like a session token if Firebase loads the user and then like fetches my current user from Hasura. While all that's happening, you know, I want it to suspend. So the idea is like on initial load, just suspend while you're getting the initial auth state set up. And then after that, just listen for changes and do your thing, but you don't want to interrupt the user. But really at the beginning, you just want to show one UI loading state while we figure out if this is someone we know or if they're anonymous. And so, yeah, I had all this code inside of like use effect that was setting up Firebase, and I needed to have an SDEP. So this gets so confusing because like I have a use auth hook, which was based on context, and needed to set up its provider. And to do this, it needed to make a query, which needed the token from Firebase. So you kind of have this outer component that uses an effect to set up Firebase, and Firebase has an auth state change callback, you know, event listener, basically. And you need to set that up in an effect. You need to return a cleanup function. And then when that changes, you need to set some state, like Firebase user. Mm-hmm. So that everyone gets the latest version of it. And then you need to fetch the current user. Again, in order to fetch the current user...
Fetch the current user from Hasura.
From Hasura, exactly.
Your data
store. So I have two different services.
Exactly.
Exactly. Like, I have my entire data store in Hasura. I have a users table there with an ID, an email, a name. Everything about the user is in there. Someone was asking about this. My friend Matt, actually, on Twitter was asking about this. So the way I do is I use Firebase as literally just like a token provider. It's like a session provider. That's all I put in there. Firebase does have the ability to store other data, but I just use it as like a way to sign in and sign out and create user accounts.
It's like authentication and identity, and that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then my Hasura users table has a Firebase ID, like a Firebase token, ID on the user, or maybe I just do by email. I think it has a Firebase token.
Firebase thing.
Yeah. And that way, once I'm authed, like I've just am pretending as if like I only care about Hasura in the rest of the app, which is a nice pattern. So the trick here is like you have to rent. So when you do all of this inside of an effect, you have to render your outer provider in order to run an effect, in order to set up Firebase and create the change handler, which then listens for the auth state changing in Firebase to set the Firebase user once the login works. And then that re-renders, you call set state Firebase user. And now you need that thing in order to configure SWR. SWR has its own provider, which you use to configure it globally. If you can do it individually, but I just do it globally, so it's easier. So then you need to wrap this and then pass in a fetcher function that has the token from the Firebase user. And only then, and only if you're within that SWR config provider, can you now use SWR easily throughout the app. And so then I have like an auth inner component, which again, it's a different component just because of the nature of providers, but really it's all happening, the same work is happening here, but it makes it confusing. So then I have this auth inner function, and now it can call use SWR, get me the current user, like the me query or whatever. And then now I can get the current user. Now I can call set state current user. And now I can render my own provider, which is like my auth provider, provide the current user as a value, provide a logout function that references Firebase user.logout, all these things. And then I can, that's all the work that's happening. And then that's what I need to wrap my app in. And then at the underscore app level, I need another component boundary so that I can start calling useAuth, and I don't call useAuth outside of that. So that's like all these layers in the tree. It's really confusing.
Yeah. Also, too, it's like you get a new layer for every like intermediate step you have to do.
Yeah.
Which I think is what drives so much of this confusion.
Totally. And then so that's kind of how it worked. And then I converted to Suspense. So I have some of the work. And also, like, every time you're doing this, you get the Firebase user you need to call set state. You get the current user from Hasura, you need to call set state. All those things trigger re-renders. And a lot of times what happens is you just can't predict, like, mentally while you're developing all the ways this thing's going to re-render. So you put these guards in your effect. You make sure things, you know, you're like rerunning this effect that sets up a Firebase event handler. But you don't care about that. Like, right. That's, you just want to do that one time, you know? But the only place to put it is in an effect. So that's what you do. And then you have to have all these guards. So it makes it hard to reason through, because this is really like a sequence of steps. It doesn't need to be reactive in the way that most stuff that goes into React components does, but it's that it is what it is, right?
Yeah, it's funny. You really want, what you're describing is like, I can't use my app until all this stuff is set up. So it's almost like I don't even want to render React until I have a user, until I've fetched data from
except the server. Except you do, because you exactly. want to render the you header loading and the screen. Spinner.
Yeah, you yeah. want UI yeah. to show your loading. Yeah. So now it's yeah. like this weird chicken egg thing where you have like
yes.
providers that do Firebase, providers that do SWR, Hasura, and yes. you're literally off. Using React State for every intermediate step, which means like you just have to be conscious of like, I'm going to re-render. My app is actually going to render in a state with like this and this, but this is missing. It's not usable. And it's just right. hard to code all that. Like you said, with all the guards. It is hard.
Yeah. It is hard. And so you end up with these like status variables that are like unknown, Firebase user not fetched, Firebase fetching, you know, Hasura not known, blah, blah, blah. All these things.
And then you're again, like, do I need a state machine? Like, what do I refactor yeah. this? It gets so hairy.
Yeah, totally. So then you refactor to Suspense because you want to be able to handle the loader in the parent easily. And, you know, that was reasonable. Like, you throw a promise. You know, as I've been learning about Suspense, you need that promise to be stable. So then I have, like, this little cache object I make that has a new promise. And, again, this is just the first time on initial render of the app. It throws that promise if, like, status is unknown or whatever it is, right? And then you can just resolve that promise finally once you're past the fetching of the current user in the effect. But again, you're in this effect. And so I got it working, but it was confusing. So then I did this refactor at 3 o'clock in the morning, powered by General Sao, where I had been, you know, I think based on our conversation like last week or two, where we were talking about Zustand and module scope for this kind of thing. And that article about avoiding context. Well, you know, I was just letting that simmer for a few days and, yeah, realizing like, you know, Sebastian had this tweet about, we talked about this last week where default, I think we kind yeah, of we touched on it, but maybe we had some more conversation since then. And basically he said, if your default value of your this is a tangent. Let's touch on this
yeah,
at
yeah,
the
yeah.
end.
This,
so,
yeah,
yeah, there's a wormhole or a rabbit hole. Wormhole. So, yeah. So, anyways, wanted to experiment using Zustand and module scope to do this work, because you kind of realize that, you know, the auth stuff, as we're saying, is not really tied to rendering. Like, it's not, I don't really care. It's not like an is open toggle. I just want to. When you open the browser window for my app, if you have a Firebase token in your in a cookie or local storage, let's say, your Firebase, you're setting it up and you want to set up this auth change listener, you just want all that to happen. That's all going to happen as soon as the JavaScript code runs. And it doesn't matter which page you're on. It's not tied to rendering. It's not scoped to a subtree of your application. It's global. It's global.
Right.
It's global and it doesn't depend on what's rendered.
This is a really interesting question. It's like it's not tied to rendering. It's not, because if you just open the browser, like you said, and you have a token in whatever, in a cookie, you're logged in. Doesn't matter if the app is rendered or not, you're logged in. But it gets kind of like fuzzy because it's like, well, if I have nothing rendered, who cares if I'm logged in? I'm not rendering anything. But it doesn't have to do with rendering because you're logged in.
Yeah, exactly. It's not that it doesn't affect pixels on the screen. It's that it's not like tied to the pixels on the screen. So React state should really affects. How do we phrase this in a way that I felt was clear?
Effects should affect pixels on the screen. So things like updating the document title during a render, that makes sense for an effect. But maybe fetching data doesn't, or fetching the auth user doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I also want to be like, we're just like throwing out these statements, but I think like until you did this experiment, like you're nudged towards using effects. I would say most apps use effects for data fetching, for getting the current user. So it's not like, oh, this is an anti-pattern. It's just a different way to think about it.
I think it's one of the only primitives we have right now to do this sort of thing. But I think I've even heard core team React members on Twitter saying a lot of people are using effects for things they shouldn't be. I think as like the Relay stuff came out, which did more work outside of React in module scope, and you know, all this cache stuff that they're talking about with React Suspense, I think in a few years now, from now, we're going to see a lot fewer effects used in React for this kind of stuff.
I agree. I hope so. But I just want to be like fair. If you Google how to fetch data in React, the first 10 pages on Google are going to be use effect fetch.
Yeah. Stuff. So. 100%. So yeah. Okay. So right. So anyways, that's kind of the conclusion of this whole thing is like, your auth state doesn't matter which page you're on, which route you're on. It's the browser sessions thing. So let's just do it there and let's not do it inside of React. And so that's what I did with Zustan. So I had this great refactor and I was just like, it was great. It was just so like therapeutic, and you just know when those things go well. And then you look at the diff and you're like, oh yeah. And basically you set up Firebase. The steps are you set up Firebase, you find the app if you have one, you do an on auth state changed. Firebase is great, does all this stuff for you. You don't even have to do anything. If you just have a token, it's going to set that up. And whenever the auth state changes, you have like a let Firebase, like old school let underscore Firebase right there in module scope. I mean, it's just, you could put this in a function if you wanted to scope it more. I guess when you just do that, it's not available globally, is it? No, it's available in the module only. So it's already scoped to the module. So let Firebase on auth state change callback, you know, Firebase equals current Firebase user. So then you have it and that's it. There's no re-renders. You're not inside of React at all. It's just literally a file that does that. And it's literally what the docs show, which is nice too, because the docs showing you how to set this up, the docs are not going to help you say, oh, if you happen to be putting this in an effect in a React app, make sure you don't call this again, all that stuff. You don't have to worry about that stuff.
Right. Right. I mean, your effects are going to run multiple times. And yeah, the docs aren't like, the docs are literally going to say, like, you set up this handler once and it's in like your, you know, your main app file.
Right. They're like, why are you running this again? We didn't say to do that.
They wouldn't show like, oh, here's an example if you're running it in like a set interval.
Yeah, exactly. So you just do that. That's great. And then, so what do you have to do once you get the Firebase? If you don't have a Firebase user, you're not logged in. And if you do, you then need to fetch your current user from Hasura. Guess what? You don't have to use SWR to do that, because SWR is a data fetching library for React, and it gives you like the data and the loading state. It's a stateful data fetching library, right? It's letting you build UI from it, but you give SWR a function that you use to hit your server. So I already had that function, which is just, it's just like using fetch or GraphQL request or whatever, right? And again, just thinking about it, like you need to fetch the current user, but you're not rendering anything from it. The reason I'm fetching the current user is not to render something. It's to set up some value of current user globally in the browser session. So why use SWR? I know it sounds funny out loud now saying it, but like, we're just so used to doing everything in React. It was like I had to come to that realization. Like, yeah. Wait, I can just fetch the current user. So in the on auth state callback change function, you can pass in an async function. Imagine that. And then you can say, if I have a Firebase user, just await fetching the current user. And then if you get that, you can just, you can have that. And now you're ready to actually put it somewhere. So then this is where the Zestan store comes in, because eventually React, you want React to read from this. If you just had these in module variables, if they ever changed, you React wouldn't know about it. But this is great because you can do all this work. You have this Zestan store, which is just like a create store function in module scope, again, outside of React. No providers. Anyone can use it. You can even use it outside of React. And you just get the store back and you call like store.set basically. And so once all this async work is done, coordinating these two services, you just call store.set current user, boom. And then in your component, you just get to use store. And that's all you do. And so you delete auth inner code. You don't have to be within the SWR config. You still render that because that's just the way SWR is allowing you to configure itself globally. Wouldn't have to be, but it's fine. And actually, I still wanted to render a component here anyways in the tree so that I could suspend. So now I have my Zestan store, which eventually gets a current user. The store also has like a stable promise so that my component can throw it. And it also has like a status, which is like actually computed and derived from the current user. And then it has like all the logout functions, which literally just reference Firebase and module scope. It was such an awesome refactor. The auth store is like 8 lines long. It's like 6 lines long. I mean, it's nothing. It's like the bare minimum. And then the component can just use auth and get access to all that stuff. And I can do any work I want to do and call store.set, store.get, or whatever in module scope. I don't care anything. It doesn't matter. React's not re-rendering during this whole process because it doesn't care. It's just going from unknown to either known or anonymous. And that's it. And it's just, it's so clean. I removed the auth inner. I just removed all this code. No effects, no state. There's no state or effects or providers. So I had my use auth being used by like 6 components throughout the app. It's now exactly the same thing because a Zestan store, you can call use store. And it gives you the same signature as if you were going to make it yourself. You also have some more control if you wanted it to have like fewer re-renders and stuff like that. But in this case, it doesn't matter. So then I get to remove, you know, my hook and my little auth provider. Yeah. No use context, no providers, no state, no effects, just a little Zestan store, a little bit of Firebase work in the module scope right out of the docs. And I'm just off to the races. So it was just freaking awesome, man. Like it was awesome.
Nice. Dude, Zestan is really good. I mean, that's Zestan, it's like it's a piece that makes this whole process work, because you want your React apps to be reactive. So if you do all this work in module scope and then the current user changes, your React app has no idea. And so you're nudged towards, okay, well, then I need to call set state, or I need to call set to state. I need a trigger.
Exactly. Or a render. It's a seam.
So what do I do? So, okay, well, I need to set up Firebase and a use effect, right? I can't just set it up during a component render. I can't just set it up. I need set state. So it has to be within a component render. Can't be outside of a component render. And then...
How would you call set state?
Right. And then also, like, I need... it needs to be in an effect because it's a side effect.
Right.
I can't just do this during every single render.
Right.
And so then now you're on this path where it's like, okay, everything downstream from that and everything upstream that you need to be reactive has to end up in React in state. So you end up with like context to share all this stuff. And the thing is, Zestan, it basically they figure out a really elegant way to, when your components are doing things like use store, they basically figure out a way to share set state so that when you change things in module scope, so when like your Firebase event handler changes a user, they just say like, okay, what components are using Zestan? You know, it's these 5. Let me trigger a set state on them. And then they do like this just genius stuff to make sure that they only set the state for the things they're interested in.
Right.
But that's how they do it. It's such like a mind twist about how like reactivity works, I guess. Like maybe that's not like, maybe that's like too general.
Well, it's just the boundary. It's like instead of on click to open panel, it's like on click and then you set something and then you have that boundary is so important, you know, instead of like,
it's everything that's not like before, everything would be like underneath React. Like I need to set state. Everything is underneath React. Now it's like, well, you have a React app and they can share set states outside of React. Like they're like lifting the set states outside of React. And I think like if you and I like as developers had to like code this, it would just be so error prone. We'd be like window dot like underscore like set state to trigger render equals like set state. And like we would just make
from the component, because the component calls use store. So that's where you have an opportunity to like create some state
to like just local
and then somehow, right.
But like the way they do it, you don't have to think about any of this. Like you don't like, you have a store, you call set on a store and your components that are using it re-render. It's one of those things that's like genius, but then it's really simple to use. I don't know. I just respect that a lot. Like,
yeah. Oh, dude. No, it's literally like they've bared all these libraries down to the essence of what you're trying to do here. I mean, it's simpler than. Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't use it even over like they show using like the reducer stuff with it. A lot of people I've seen who reach you just get pushed from like local component state to like context on a provider that has shared state with like a reducer. And it's like, those are the two extremes.
Yeah.
And now you can just do this anytime. I don't really see a need for the other thing anymore because this is a lot easier and you can do anything, any pattern you want. You can do a Redux style stuff, or you can just do what we like to do. But it's basically like if React let you call use state, like create use state. Yeah. Create store. That gave you like a use state outside. You could just, it's just like moving the use state outside of the component.
And yeah.
Now it's shared. Now it's here and you can export it. And then you can just call use. Like, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I could totally see a create store function making it into React.
You think like this general pattern being.
This literal API is basically almost feels exactly like something that could come from React's library. Mm-hmm. With a few exceptions, but it's very minimal and it feels like the natural next best step. Just again, I'm saying like just the idea of like moving something into module scope as a way to share it. It's just
the reason
it's that, great.
Yeah. The reason I think like I could see this, I don't know if this will end up in React. I think React is very like guarded against adding
new APIs.
Yeah. But the reason I think this could end up is, you know, you see things like, oh, you shouldn't be using context. Oh, you should have data fetching outside of render. Oh, you shouldn't be using effects for these sort of things.
Yeah.
And the reality is like, okay, then how the hell do I do it?
And yeah, exactly.
It's really, well, really now, hard. And now we have an answer. Yeah.
Yep. Except we don't quite have an answer yet because the suspense stuff. They are going to be adding an API for cache.
But that's, I'm not talking about suspense, just like general, like doing a fetch inside of,
I know, but effect. I think the cache stuff is kind of, is it just about suspense? It's about being able to do work outside of React and triggering re-renders. So it seems pretty closely related.
I guess it's about
suspense.
Yeah.
But it's also like if you're moving to a world where you do data fetching outside of the component, and again, flash forward 10 years, no one does use effect fetch data anymore. Then if you didn't have suspense and the ability to throw a promise, how would you be able to fetch data outside of a component?
The same way you would use.
How would you call set state in the callback?
No. If suspense didn't exist, we would still be moving to this pattern.
React tell you to do it though? Like, what I'm saying is, like, if suspense didn't exist, you could do what Zestan does today, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I don't use suspense. But, I can
no, I know, it. But React doesn't, like, what would React recommend? Like, I'm wondering if once...
What would React docs recommend? I don't think they recommend. Exactly. I don't think they recommend anything. They don't, I mean,
No, they point to use effect for that kind of thing, for data fetching. They say use effect for data fetching.
Do they? I mean, do they? Okay.
Yeah. They say side effects include things like data fetching and updating the document title or whatever. Gotcha. And then they link to like that post with the example when the hooks came out.
Yep.
But I don't know if that will be the case anymore. Because if the whole patterns for concurrent rendering, like best practices or whatever, talks about how it's best to do data fetching outside of the component. So once you recommend doing data fetching outside of rendering, then you need a mechanism for getting the data into React.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you do that? How would you call set state? You can do it with a library like Zestan, but they're not going to say that. What would be the lowest common denominator way to do it? It might be using the cache and throwing a promise.
Okay, I guess I'm not. I'm just not tracking how.
I don't think it's. I think related. It's the suspense thing is. It's related because I think the suspense stuff is bigger than just like, oh, we want this to suspend. I think like the suspense approach to data fetching and getting results from async operations into your components is going to be like the recommended way to do it. And it's not just because of the benefits that suspense offers for the purposes of like loading states. It's mm-hmm. like, it's because like you need a way now to communicate data and then when data is stale to invalidate the cache, if you're in module scope back into React. And I don't know. I think the cache might be the way to do that. I don't think there's a lower level primitive. I don't think they're going to say somehow get reference to a set state and call that. Mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, right. Like if these things depend
on render. Like build your own Zestan or whatever.
Right. Yeah. If these things depend on render, but this stuff needs to happen before render or before commit, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea. Like I just I can't predict these
APIs. I think the suspense cache might be, I think it might become a bigger deal.
You're talking like
the, it's like for animation like the too
resource and stuff
in yes the... resource.read yes yes okay yes
and like
yes.
all that is outside of
yes of and I yes exactly
scope. That's in module land
exactly there's... and like you're not going to be writing throw promise like that's a detail of the implementation, but I think you're going to be using these caches and that's like going to be the way to do it.
Gotcha.
So what were we talking about? What led to this? So my point being,
like, would Zestan end up in React? Well, yeah, it's a really good way to do this. But then, like, would they actually recommend this? Like, would this be
right? So yeah, I think the cache is going to be a big part of it, and it's not going to be so much like once you want to add suspense to your app, here's how you use the suspense cache. I think it's going to be like, if you want to do data fetching in your app, here's how you do it. You get a cache, you call write on it, you call read on it, and then it just works. And then you need at least one suspense boundary in your app, not because you're wanting to use suspense, but because for the same reason you need an error boundary. You know what I mean? You need an error boundary so that you can catch it when your app throws an error. You need a suspense boundary because the way to do data fetching in React is with the cache, and that's how it works. Because like the best practice is to fetch data outside of render or whatever. So anyways, all speculation, but pretty interesting stuff. And then I guess just to wrap up the conversation maybe that we started last week, we took another look again at Sebastian's tweet about avoiding context for global data. And again, this is something that, you know, this is what people are doing these days because this is what you're kind of told to do and there's no alternative really, but using context and a provider to put some data. And Sebastian said, if your provider doesn't work with a default value, it's not a good context. it's not like a good context provider combo. And we were thinking about that. And his example is like, you should be able to have a button that uses context theme, and the default theme provider gives you like a value of light, and the button should work if you just do that. And, but then in a subtree of your app, you could render like a themed little portion of it, or like a little dark mode thing. So now the theme provider, you provide a value of dark. And so whatever button you render inside of that subtree is going to get dark. And so he was saying, this is how like good context provider pairs work. They operate in subtrees of your app, and they work as a default as well. If I look over every single context provider combo I've written in the last 2 years in React, it's always been global values. And the default, the only reason I do them in the first place is because they're stateful, which means the default value doesn't do anything. Because if you rendered it without like a stateful provider at the root, it could change over time, then it wouldn't be useful. So,
or I mean, you know, or you could render with a default value, but like if you rendered with a default value of like there is no user, and then there was a user, mm-hmm. that would be a bug. It wouldn't be like, oh, my context right. is working fine with its default value. You'd point to that and be like, no, you are logged in and it's saying there's no yes. user. So like the default value, although it like your code doesn't error.
No, it has to be stateful, or else you would just export a const and just import it. I was just thinking, like, would you have a provider that provides you like a state list or something like that? But if it's not stateful, it's just data, you would just export a const in a utils file or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason you reach for a provider is because of something that changes over time that components need access to.
Right. But with the theme example, I mean, the theme could change over time. It's stateful. But I think he's saying that like the button should still render. It shouldn't say like, oh, you rendered me outside of a provider subtree.
Totally. But the only reason you have a theme provider is because the value could be different.
Yes.
Yeah. So point being, In my use cases and our use cases, mostly that the different value. Anyway, it's basically just been global singleton state. It's been global. There's only been one version of it. It's singleton because it's just global singleton, and then state because it changes. Because if it didn't change, we wouldn't put it in a provider. So it's going to be like current user that goes from undefined to a current user or whatever. You know, or wizard state or whatever it is, right? So then he's basically saying this is not a really great use of context and providers. And so, yeah, I think like the Zustan store is going to be my new go-to here. And I think it's, yeah, I'm basically going to, I think in every app, I like the refactor I did in my side project with the auth stuff, where I'm sharing a hook, but none of those components have to be under the auth provider. It's not a context provider. Anytime I need to share state, and then, you know, folks we work with who reach for, hey, I really want to share, you know, the state of the cart. You have a shopping cart in Amazon. Boom. That's it. It's just a store. It's a Zustan store. Normally you would reach for, okay, this is in the header. It needs to change over time. It's stateful. All these components down the tree need access to it. Boom. Context and provider, right? But no, just, it's the same thing. It wouldn't make sense without it as a default value. You can make it work, but the essence of Sebastian's tweet is like, you, if that's just there for global shared state, it's not a good use of context, because context and providers are for subtrees. They're composable, and
right.
they're never used in that way.
That's a key point. It's do you have multiple shopping carts on this page? Can you be
right.
adding items to two shopping carts at once? And like, yeah, that like I don't know a single e-commerce site that does that. So
right, right,
yeah.
That's an interesting train of thought. So let's think about this. Like, let's say you start making a video player, and then you start kind of doing what we did on Ember Map, where you break the video player down into all this tree of components. You have controls. You have like a thumbnail. You have the slider. You have the actual video element. So this has become like a complex tree of components, and you want there to be just some video player state that all those guys can have access to, because it's just simple. So you do like, you do it with like a Zustan store, and you're on like YouTube. So there's only ever one video playing at a time. It works fine. But now in your app, you want to have like two videos playing. Let's just say you had that. I guess that would be a good use of like context and provider, because you could like render different subtrees.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's so funny how like this all comes back to like product decisions. Like if I have two video players rendered and like I change the playback speed of one, should it like affect the other?
Let's say they're scoped. Let's say they're scoped to each other.
I mean, the video player is kind of interesting because like you could imagine not needing context or global store, and like everything is stored in like a lowest common ancestor ish.
I know, video but component. Like, but let's say it gets complex enough that that's just like there's all these middleman components. Let's just say it's like a really reason. People you could say that about anything. You could say that about the shopping cart, but it gets annoying to pass props down.
Right. I think you would almost have both. You might have like a Globalton store, a global singleton, Globalton.
I like that.
Portmandu. a global singleton store that stores things that are like specific to every video player for the user. So maybe that's like things like, I don't know.
Like language or something like
that. Yeah, or like the video codecs you have. I'm just making stuff up. But then you might have individual video players with their own stores. That would be in context. That might be like playback speed for this video, volume that I'm running for this video. And the reason, you know, just as you pointed out, the reason you put that in context is so that you have a complicated subtree of components. You don't want to pass playback speed. You don't want to drill that through a whole bunch of components. So, you know, if you know you're a volume button, you know that like you can just implicitly grab the context you're rendered from. But now going back to Sebastian's tweet would say like, well, your video player should still work whether it's rendered within that provider or not. So if someone forgets to render a provider or just doesn't, your video player should still work with default values, which I think is fair. I think it's a fair statement.
Yeah. I'm kind of confused here about like if you start off with a global video player and you use like a Zestan store here, and then you want two video players, it feels like you would want to start with context and provider so that it's like it's more composable in a sense. You already have a natural boundary, but I don't think I'm thinking about this right, because I think we're talking about different things. Like,
the thing is there are
the video things. Player not working with the context is like, that doesn't really feel right to me. That tells me, that seems like you're using context to configure a thing. You're using a provider to configure how an element renders. But what we're talking about is how would you scope the state of a video player to a single one.
Same. I look at it as the same.
I don't know if it's the same.
Yeah,
I have button has an optional theme that defaults to light. A video player that needs to have its own state is not optional. That's not optional state. That's like the state of the thing.
It should still. So wait. Hold on. I think you're going too far. We do this pattern where we do this pattern where we go, I want to define a use auth hook that we just talked about how we have removed use auth from context, but bear with me here. Mm-hmm. We have a use auth hook, and use auth reads the current user from a provider. And we've noticed in a number of apps that we've worked on that sometimes people forget to set up the provider. And so, or sometimes people use a use auth hook above where the provider is set up. And so now, since there's no provider, you're working with a default context, which is just an empty object. And so your current user is null. And so we do this little trick where in use auth, we say like, okay, use context, auth context. And then like, if I got a default object. The value of the context
is like undefined.
Yeah, throw an error. So if the value of the context.
Because you're misusing the hook, yeah.
Yeah, because we're saying like, use auth is meant to be used within the use auth provider.
The stateful provider, yeah.
He's saying, well, that's wrong. And if that's the case, well, first of all, his tweets are very vague. And so I can't infer what he's saying. But he's saying that's wrong. He's saying that's wrong. It should work with a default value. So if I did use auth outside of
the stateful provider.
That's the stateful provider. Yeah. My tree should still render. It should just render as if I had no user, right? Because it should still render. Like my use auth hook is still valid because, I should work with the default context. Like I should just pretend for
it doesn't where error, I but it renders like an inconsistent tree, which is kind of weird.
It's not. I mean, to be fair, it renders a bug because it's saying you're not logged in when you are logged in, which you and I would say that's a bug.
We'd rather have the error.
Yeah. So we would rather have it throw. Too, like the reality is like it's sometimes really hard to explain this to teams. And so we want like things to be error driven. So if
it's 100%. And also even for me, like I it happened to me like, I'm refactoring this thing in underscore app use auth. And then it's like, why isn't this working?
So the thing where I think his tweet is vague is that he's saying like, no, it's actually up to the user to know they're not within a provider and therefore they should get back a null user. Or is he saying that like, well, actually, this is like proof that this is a bad, if you find yourself needing to throw error, this is like proof that like you should be using Zustand instead.
Yeah, you should be using something else. Okay, so, that's kind of confusing. I still like that we're talking about it because I feel like every time we talk about it, I get a little bit more clarity on it, but it's very confusing to me. I wish there was more written about this from him.
I do too. And I also just like, if I had an ask here, it would be like, I would like to know what the alternatives are or what they recommend, because I feel like if I have heard people say things like, you know, effect should be for pixels on the screen and, you know, have your fetch function defined outside of effect. But then as soon as you need something like a JWT that comes from use auth, you're now in like component land and like your fetchers are all defined in render. So anyway, I would like to see.
Yeah.
This is what Facebook uses. Okay, let's go back.
Totally. No. Yeah, so that was good, and it adds color to it. Let's set aside for a second. Let's come back to this video player thing, right? So, okay, given everything we just said, going to paint a picture here, right? You start with a video player component. It's a function. It has use state as source, right? That's it. React's use state. It's local state. So you render a video player passing in source, and you can render another one as a sibling and it has its own source. Those things are independent and stateful and they coexist, right? That's fine. So now you start adding, you know, a play button and a timeline and all this stuff. You still have it all in local state. You know, maybe you have like a use state and it's like, you know, video player state. It's an object with all this stuff.
You got 50 use states, playback speed, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Or you have one with an object or something like that, which is like video state or something like that. Still working, right? But then, you know, you're passing this thing all the way through and it becomes a pain. So what's the move here? Like
I think context is a move. I think I wouldn't hate it if you were like, I really like Zustand. I'm going to move to Zustand here. But I think like I look at context as solving like one of the problems that context solves is it's like context provider is it's like implicit props. And so I think of these as like, I'm sick of passing these things down. I'm prop drilling. Yeah. I know if I'm rendered in this tree,
a play button, I know I'm going to be within a video player
and I have access to a like is playing or whatever. I have access to state about a video
player. Okay, what is it though? That was the actual move. The video player itself renders like a video player data provider and then it also renders all the other parts of the video player.
Yeah, you would basically keep all that state in video player and then you render, you know, my video player context dot provider value equals that state object you're talking about. Yeah, I think that would be my first
move. Yeah, because it's still scoped to the component. That's the thing. It's about rendering. So you don't need Zustand here because you're not trying to share it. You're not trying to share it across component. It's actually.
Yeah, that's good. It's scoped to rendering. You're not like.
And then video player would have a provider. It would export. It would have a context that you could say use video player state and any of the play buttons and stuff that would use it would get their own version of it.
I have to think about this. So use video player. Yes. They would export a default. They would export a default context, and then they would, when they use that context, they would get the the, you know,
provided the value from the root video player component.
Right.
So this actually makes a lot of sense for context, and it's because, well, if you were to look at, if you were to take a snapshot shot of your tree at a point in time where you had two video players rendered, you'd have two different contexts right here. And you're rendering a context and a provider and all this stuff for the video player data within the video player component. You don't need it to be above it. So now you're not like opening underscore app and seeing like video player like context provider and having like an array of all the video players that are rendered to the screen, all that kind of stuff.
Of course not. But just
But I'm saying if you open up a lot of apps, like you're going to have like, you're going to have like shopping cart provider. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but it's only for a single shopping cart. So I think
that's the point. That's what I'm saying though. That's the thing. It's like, if it's for a single cart, it's like, it feels like a Zustand store in my shopping cart component file is like the way to go, you know? And,
I don't
mind. But in this case, it feels like context and provider is the way to go.
Yeah, I also think, hold on, I want to just back up here. I think you can use like a combination of the two. Like there might be some things about a video player that's global to like the user or the application or the browser. So I think
that makes it harder. I'm just talking about scopes right now.
Yeah. Basically, I think
you see how these two I keep cutting you off. Sorry.
I'm less worried about like which option a developer chooses here. And I'm more like, as long as a refactor path is easier. Like right now on Amazon, there's a single shopping cart. There's just a single shopping cart. But like you could imagine like some product manager comes along and says like, okay, you're managing like an organization and you need to manage multiple people's shopping carts.
Yeah,
I know. But like I'm not.
That's what I'm worried about. I want an algorithm that says we've gotten to the point.
I'm not worried about that because I think
that's
like refactoring. Like that's part of.
No, I know. But okay. So what's the algorithm here? Like what is the protocol for the path? So you start with a component, you use React State, you start making components that are related to this root component. That's like a video player is complex enough where prop drilling becomes a problem. Now the question is, okay, prop drilling has become a problem for this.
Yep.
What is the decision tree?
I think, you know? So this is something, I mean, dude, we're like 2 weeks into this, so we're still figuring this out. But I think this goes back to rendering and pixels on the screen. So like, if it's like about data that's like coming from a database or an API, I'm more likely to put that into Zustand because that doesn't matter for rendering. Where like the video player might have like a playback speed where I'm like pressing a button to, UI state. I'm clicking a button to increase it. I'm clicking a button to decrease it. So that does have to do with rendering. So like
maybe it feels like you want to keep it, you want to keep it local and you want to keep it scoped. That's one way to think about it.
And if the app isn't rendered, like the thing doesn't exist. So like if the app isn't rendered, going back to how we kicked this off, if the app isn't rendered, like you literally are logged in or not because of your, so you have a current user.
Interesting. So what about, So I'm liking this. What about like you have like a 4 or 5 page like checkout thing and you're checking out for a flight. And so you need, you know, what seats you chose, blah, blah, blah. I guess that would be Zustand land.
Yeah.
Or would it be like, let's say it's.
It's so funny because like you could see like a wizard is about like things that are rendered. So maybe like UI the data, state. Maybe like the data is in like that Zustand or Suspense cache or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's outside of data is outside of rendering. It's like in a database in an API. But then there's some internal context that's like, I'm on page 2 of this. Maybe the page 2 can be derived from the data you have. This gets really hard. I mean, like, again, this is like, I feel real. I'm just making stuff up. I know, but I'm just like making this up off the cuff.
No, I know.
I think it should be easy to refactor, not easy, but it should.
That's the thing that I'm worried about, because if I start going heavy on this kind of module state, Zustand is a detail. It doesn't matter. The point is more like, are you just, once you need to share things across components, using context and providers at the root level becomes really messy quick. Then it's basically, Sebastian is basically saying you shouldn't do that. And It's also just like, it's just the pain in the butt. You have all these providers at the root. It doesn't really make sense to do that in a lot of ways. And using module state via something like Zustand is like way, way cleaner. It really is for this use case. But if you get into a point where you need to compose, have you broken the composition of it, the composability of your system? And so when you hit a refactor point, you're just done because you have all this stuff in this global store using like this global API. And it's like, what have I done? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have enough experience to say there. I think the things that don't have to do with rendering, it's a lot easier to put those in module scope stores.
Yeah.
The things that do have to do with rendering, where something like a shopping cart or flight checkout, it's kind of hard for me to say, does that have to do with rendering? Like in one sense, I can look at the database and I know where you are in the shopping cart process, regardless of render. So that makes me think Zustand. But on the other hand, I can see multiple.
I need to add another shopping cart. And if you had just used context and providers, now all you need to do is just render two sibling providers and you're good to go. Like you've by putting it, by scoping it to a provider, you've literally made it like reusable already. Whereas like the Zustand thing isn't.
And we might, I mean, we're thinking long term here. We might come up with tools that are like, okay, there's two types of stores. There's the subtree store context.
Yeah.
There's a global store and there's tools that let you kind of think of it as one, but it knows that what is checked goes over here. And things like the user's preferred video codec go over here in the global thing.
Right.
Whatever. It's hard. And like I said, I feel like we're going to.
It's early.
We'll do a podcast in 4 weeks about how we're wrong about all this.
And
it's our newest pattern.
Anyways, for now, man, I don't know about all this stuff that we just went into. Those are like the interesting, like the edges of this. But dude, for the off stuff, this is it, man. Locked in. Yep. I'm dialed in. Like you just look at this and you're like, I know that this is right. I could go back to every app that I've written in the last 2 years and do this, and it would clean the code up. I'm like 99% confident of that. Remove all the use effects, remove all the checks on that stuff. You know, even if you don't have suspense, it's not even about that. So
in your apps,
I could do a transparent refactor, remove a provider, remove context, have the use auth hook be exactly the same signature, and clean up the code massively by using Zustand.
And your apps are still reactive, and that's a key point.
Oh,
your apps are
nothing, still literally reactive. Nothing's changed. Transparent refactor for use auth, both from the calling side and the reactivity side. So in my mind, that's like, that is the pattern. So I'd like to make a video on it soon, but I'm really happy with it. It's awesome.
You shared on Twitter like kind of like the diff or like the newest code, right? So
yeah,
let's link that. And
I should add the diff, actually. I'll do that and then add it. I added the auth thing and then I added a screenshot of the entire module. And it's sick. So cool. Well, maybe we'll next consulting project, we'll have to build a shopping cart and we'll be able to put some of this to the test.
wizards that are in UI, that's like step one, step two, and then it's like half in the database, half in the client. It's just
that
like,
is,
that's like my nightmare,
I think,
of UI
program. No, that is, I think that's expert level right there. Like basically you're doing like shopping in Amazon, and while the user doesn't have a set, like a thing, you're keeping it in like the session and not in the database. But then if you like create an account, you save it in the database, building that front end is like expert level, because
the shopping cart that you can add to and you're not logged in, and then you go
and it follows you around the app while you're not logged in, but because it's using some session data.
Dude, that would be a really, really fun app to work on, like really fun problem to solve.
Yeah, tough one. I think it'd be tough, but no, it would be super fun. That's, have you ever seen the UI challenges, like the my friend Herman was linking to this, and he was like writing tests for this in Phoenix, I think. But like the 7 UI challenges, where it's like,
no,
it's pretty cool. I can't remember what it's called. Actually, oops. Yeah, it's called the 7 GUI tasks. This is really neat. 7 GUIs, a GUI programming benchmark. This is like, who is this? I don't know where this came from, but it's called 7 GUIs, a GUI programming benchmark. And Yeah, I don't know where this came from, but about Seven GUIs has been created as a spinoff of my master's thesis, Comparison of Object-Oriented and Functional Programming for GUI Development. Wow. At Human-Computer Interaction. That sounds interesting. Who is this dude? Gotta mention who you are, man. I don't know what your name is. Oh, my. He has my hyperlinked. Eugen Kiss? Do you know this dude?
No.
Eugen Kiss? Who is the person? I can't find who it actually is, but yeah, Eugen Kiss. Yeah, this is pretty neat, man. The seven tasks are counter, just build, yeah, a label with a text counter, field the, T and a button the, B, and you push it and it increments it.
Yep.
And this is cool because they specified as if these were like math problems, you know. Temperature converter. Task is to build a frame containing two text fields, TC and TF, representing the temperature in Celsius and Fahrenheit, respectively. Yeah, this is really cool. I'll send you this.
Yeah, I've got it open.
We'll put it in the notes. Flight booker with like the constraints on the inputs, a timer with like dealing with concurrency. Yeah, mm-hmm. Challenges concurrency, competing user signal interactions, responsiveness, CRUD, separating domain and presentation logic, circle drawer, undo, redo, custom drawing, and then cells, which is like Excel, basically. Change propagation.
Level 7. This is really funny because, like, you know, obviously the counter, it's like the hello world of React. So you read this, right, and you're like, I can totally build this, right? Like, this is every React course intro goes how to do this. Temperature converter, you kind of scroll through these and you see how they get a little more harder, but you're like, yeah, I can see this. And then you get to the last one, cells, and it's like a full-blown Excel, and you're like,
yeah. Yeah. That'd be a fun one. But yeah, that just reminded me. Yeah, the shopping cart with that actually touches a lot of aspects of these. It kind of reminded me like, yeah, build a shopping cart that keeps track of transient state across pages and converts it to persistent state once you create an account. That's a big one.
You know? Yeah. Also, too, a thing with us, just like kind of like how you and I approach these problems, it's like you could imagine like, okay, I'm going to store this all in local storage if they're not logged in, and then I'm going to like, you know, recreate all the like CRUD actions once they log in. But like, I don't know about, I think we would look at something like, okay, sure, you can do it by hand, you can describe how you would do it, but if it's something that ends up with like a lot of code everywhere and it's not like a pattern that you can reuse, it's not like something like Zustan where you can bring to every app, where it's something you're just handwriting a lot of code. Like, we just don't count that as an answer
for us. Solution, it needs
to
be like
something that we can bring to the new projects that we jump into every 4 months.
Yes. Absolutely. So. Absolutely. That's cool, man. All right. What do you say we wrap it? I'm getting hungry here. It's about lunchtime.
Yep.
Cool. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Bye.